صلى على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد وفرعون ذي الأوتاد الذين طغوا في البلاد فأكثروا فيها الفساد فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب إن ربك لبالمرصاد فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي أكرمن وأما إذا ما ابتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه فيقول ربي أهانن كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. By the dawn and by 10 nights, and by the even and the odd, and by the night when it passes, is there not in all that an oath sufficient for one of perception? Have you not considered how your Lord dealt with Ad, with Iram, who had lofty pillars, the likes of whom had never been created in the land, and with Thamud, who carved out the rocks in the valley, and with Pharaoh, owner of the stakes, all of whom oppressed within the lands, and increased therein the corruption. So your Lord poured upon them a scourge of punishment. Indeed, your Lord is in observation. And as for man, when his Lord tries him, and thus is generous to him and favors him, he says, my Lord has honored me. But when he tries him and restricts his provision, he says, my Lord has humiliated me. No, but you do not honor the orphan, and you do not encourage one another to feed the poor, and you consume inheritance, devouring it altogether, and you love wealth with immense love. No, when the earth has been leveled, pounded, and crushed, and when your Lord has come and the angels rank upon rank, and brought within view that day is hell, that day man will remember, but what good to him will be their remembrance? He will say, oh, I wish I had sent ahead some good for my life. So on that day, none will punish as severely as his punishment, and none will bind as severely as his binding of the evildoers. To the righteous it will be said, O reassured soul, return to your Lord, well pleased and pleasing to him, and enter among my righteous servants, and enter my paradise. Sadaqallahu al-Aliyyul Azim.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. Just before the announcements, inshallah, I would like to request everyone to please step, come forward. There's less people today, but just in case people come, inshallah. So please, with Allah, salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So just a few announcements, inshallah, before we start. First of all, I would like to mention that there are still sponsorships available. There's, inshallah, some openings if you would like to sponsor one of the programs, inshallah. And we also accept any donations. You guys could pay in cash, put in the donation boxes in the back. Sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa Okay, and yeah, we also take Zelle as well. If you want to pay a donation that way, inshallah, you could take one advantage of one of those options if you want to. Please let myself know or one of the other volunteers, and we will be able to help you with that, inshallah. Next, I would like to mention that, alhamdulillah, we have the schedule for Ashura. It's not going to be held here. Inshallah, Ashura is going to be held on Monday, August 8th. It's going to start from 10 a.m. and end at 2 p.m. It's going to be at the downtown Anaheim Community Center. So it's a different location. If you want to know the address, inshallah, in the email, you'll find that, inshallah. The schedule will be, it'll start, please try to arrive there at 10 a.m. And then the A'mal will start shortly after at 10:15, lasting till 11:45. Next, we're going to have the Maqtal, inshallah, of Imam al-Hussein, followed by Latmiya, and then we'll end off with Salat Jama'ah, Dhuhr, inshallah. Also, I'd like to remind everyone, if you could please register online before you come, both to the Ashura program as well as the other programs. The purpose of this is just so we don't overestimate or underestimate the food. So inshallah, if you could do that, it takes a couple of seconds. We would greatly appreciate that, inshallah. Also, if there are any maybe talented Latmiya reciters who would like to recite, inshallah, please let myself know or brother Rida Mansouri or any of the other volunteers, inshallah. We may be able to accommodate that, inshallah. Also, please do not forget to recite a Surah Fatiha for those who sponsored dinner tonight, as well as their families and their marhumin, especially Hajj Mahdi Muhammad Hussein. Please recite a Fatiha for him after a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And without further ado, one more. Inshallah, if you are in the area on Friday in the LA area, Sayyid Ali Jafari will be leading the Friday prayer at Masjid al-Rasul at 1 p.m. In Watts. If you're in the area and if you would like to take advantage of that, inshallah, please do. And with that, please help me invite Sayyid Ali with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. أما بعد، فقد قال أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب: كلمة حق يراد بها باطل. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جهل الله آخر الأحد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. We have been speaking about the fall of the elite, the idea that throughout Islamic history, there have been those individuals who at some point in time were close to the Holy Prophet, were close to the Ahlul Bayt, were close to the Imams. But because of one reason or another, we see that they fell off. They fell off the path. They lost their way. Sometimes they came back, sometimes they may not have. The reason why we are looking at this concept and studying this concept together is because we know that these were real people. This was not a fairy tale. They were going through real problems. They faced those problems, and sometimes they made the wrong decisions. And what we're trying to do here in these nights is learn from their mistakes so that we don't make the same ones, because our tests are coming. As we come closer and move closer to the day of Ashura, we will start to see more and more that the fall of the elite is actually the story of Karbala. The fall of the elite and the rise of the elite. So we spent 3 days thus far talking about the Battle of Jamal. We had an introductory day, we had 3 days talking about the Battle of Jamal, and now we're going to talk about the Battle of Siffin. After that, we're going to look at the fall of the elite in the Quran. And then finally, on the 9th and 10th, we will look at the fall of the elite in Karbala itself. Brothers and sisters, Karbala, when you look at it in one way, it was the massacre of the sons of Imam Ali alayhi salam. According to some, I've seen this in one of the books of Sheikh Mufid, 7 of his sons were killed. 7 of Imam Ali's sons. Now we know about maybe Imam Hussein, well, Hazrat Abbas, but 7 of his sons were killed. 9 of his grandsons were killed. 7 of his nephews were killed. Now this was the massacre of the children of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But when we go back in history, we have to see, well, how did it get to this point? We see that at the end of the Battle of Jamal, Imam Ali alayhi salam has just secured a great victory. There was this huge fitna and this huge test that came. Some of the closest companions of the Holy Prophet fought against Imam Ali, raised an army against Imam Ali. But the Muslims, for the most part, they came together, they supported Imam Ali, and they saw the victory. They saw the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at play. Allah salli ala Muhammad. But there was still one great challenge that remained for Imam Ali alayhi salam, and that was Muawiyah. Muawiyah had been increasingly gaining more and more power from the time of the second Khalif to the third Khalif. He had been behind the scenes pushing the Battle of Jamal, we know, as we've spoken about. And now he saw it as his opportunity to take over, to gain power for himself. And so what he does is, right as soon as the Battle of Jamal ends, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he tells Muawiyah, and if you study Nahj al-Balagha, you'll see there's so many back and forths between Imam Ali and Muawiyah, but he tells him, it's time for you to step aside, with all due respect. that you cannot serve in an Alawi government. You cannot serve in a divine government. And so he tells Muawiyah to step aside. Muawiyah wasn't really interested in that. So what Muawiyah does is he begins to march towards Kufa. From Damascus, he begins to march towards the center of Imam Ali alayhi salam's power. And he does so with an army of 120,000, a large army for those times. So what does Imam Ali alayhi salam do? Imam Ali alayhi salam, he sends Imam Hassan one place, he sends some of his other companions another place. They start to gather the people again, coming fresh off of this victory in the Battle of Jamal. He gathers the people and he has an army of about 80,000. Okay, smaller than Muawiyah's army. And they also begin to march. Rather than staying in Kufa, they also begin to march north. And they meet in what is modern-day Raqqa, which is, if you remember, where the center of Daesh was. Okay, this is where the Battle of Siffin took place. Just like when we talked about the Battle of Jamal, we see here a principle of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And this is something that we can apply to our own lives and our own communities. Is that he wanted to, at all costs, avoid disunity between Muslims. So he went above and beyond here. 3 days he spent outside of Siffin. Excuse me. 3 months he spent outside of Siffin trying to negotiate. Calling those who didn't know Imam Ali alayhi salam. Many people in Syria, they had never met Imam Ali alayhi salam. They didn't know anything about him. Right? We all know that famous story when Imam Ali is assassinated. When people hear about it, some of them, they said, oh, he was killed in the masjid. We didn't even know he prayed. You see, the amount of propaganda that was against Amir al-Mu'mineen. So he spent 3 months trying to call them. Say, come to the Holy Quran. Let's come to what's common between us. Ta'alu ila kalimatin sawa'un baynana wa baynakum. Come to what is common between us. We don't have to end this on the battlefield. Right? We don't have to do what happened in Jama. But we see that even after 3 months of calling people to the Quran, there was no room for negotiation. Okay? And so the battle starts, and again, here's a point for us, in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. They start the battle. The battle pauses for what? What's the next month? Muharram. You see? Remember that hadith that we talked about the first night of Imam Rida alayhi salam? The battle pauses for the month. Imam Ali again spends time trying to, whatever he can do, stop the bloodshed of Muslims. But it was to no avail. Okay? And now the battle continues, starts and finishes in the month of Safar. Okay? And it was an extremely difficult battle. An extremely intense battle. Where there was a lot of losses on both sides. And it reached its peak in what's known as Laylatul Harir. Okay? This is where Imam Ali and Malik Ashtar, they come up with the plan that rather than take a break at night, which is usually done, we're just going to fight all night. Okay? And so this caught the enemy by surprise because it wasn't a common tactic. And so they fight all night and they're reaching closer and closer to victory. And this is where, brothers and sisters, we're going to get into who we're going to be studying tonight. Remember, each night we're looking at one individual and we're saying three things. What are those three things? Who are they? Who was he? What did he do? And why did he fall? Okay, so we're getting close to see who are we going to be talking about tonight. And this is where Muawiyah, when they are close to being defeated, the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen is coming up close to his tents. In fact, Ayatollah Behjat says that one of the individuals in Amir al-Mu'mineen's army, whose name he doesn't mention here, entered the tent of Muawiyah himself and could have finished Muawiyah off himself. But what happened? Muawiyah said, "What's your price?" He said, "Everybody's got a price." You see, this is one of the keys. This is what we talked about the last couple of nights. If we want to be like the shuhada of Karbala, we can't have a price. Right? He said, what's your price? X amount. X thing. This how many houses, this much gold, what is it? Eventually, he found this individual's price. And rather than this soldier of Amir al-Mu'mineen finishing the battle right there, and as Ayatollah Behjat says, maybe we wouldn't have had Karbala if that had happened. We see that he was bought off and he left. And this allowed Muawiyah to enact his plan, which was what? Which was to put the Holy Quran on spears. So the army goes out and they put the Holy Quran on spears. The army of Muawiyah, and they say, come to what is common between us, O you who were calling us to the Quran. We're ready. Let's do this. Let's sit down. Let's have this discussion that you guys wanted to talk about. Let's do this now. And here we see again the fall of the elite coming into play. There was a man named Ashath, who was in the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen, who was well known. And he actually had a daughter who was married to Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And we see Ashath, what does he do? He says, how much more killing can there be? How much more bloodshed? We finished the battle of Jamal, fighting against our brothers. Now here we are, fighting against our brothers again. When is this going to end? They're calling us to the Quran. That's what we wanted. You see? Here Imam Ali says, I am the Quran. Continue on. Don't fall for this. These people are treacherous. We called them to this. If they were serious about calling, being called to the Quran, we gave them 3 months. Then we gave them another month. No, they're about self-preservation. That's all they're about. They don't care about the Book of Allah. And this is where the group that we're going to talk about tonight comes into play. And that is the Khawarij. So rather than talking about one individual, we're going to be talking about a group. That what did they do? Okay. So first of all, brothers and sisters, before we talk about what they did, we have to talk about who were they. The Khawarij were not just regular, you know, battle, you know, what do we call it? Something for hire, what do we call it? Yeah, whatever, mercenaries or muscle for hire. No, these guys were serious about the deen, okay? These guys were Qura'a, that's what they were known as. They were reciters of the Holy Quran, the most beautiful voices, okay? Later, Malik al-Ashtar refers to them as the people with the marks on their foreheads. This is who they were. They were known for what? For their zuhd, their asceticism, staying away from the dunya, for their long prostrations. They were known for being serious about the sunnah, for being serious followers to the T. You know, what does the Risala Amaliyah say? Right? These were these kind of guys. Okay? And this is why their fall and their actions were so, was so important. It had so much of an impact because of who they were. Interestingly enough, the Holy Prophet had basically talked about them before they had even come into existence. When he had said that there will be a group of people who penetrate so deeply into religion that they are like an arrow going through a prey. Imagine someone's hunting a deer, right? And they take a shot and the arrow goes through the prey, comes out the other side, right? This is called a ta'ammuq, okay? And this is why they were called the Maraqeen. Because they went penetrated so deeply that they exaggerated, they became extremists. Okay? And they're known as the Maraqeen, or for example in English we'll say the deviants. And so what they did was, and so the Holy Prophet said there will be this group of people, be wary of them. And so what they did now was they told Imam Ali, look, the Quran's on the spears, we don't want anything to do with battle anymore. You better call back Malik al-Ashtar. Malik al-Ashtar was on the front lines. Imam Ali sends word to Malik al-Ashtar, this is the situation. They surrounded our camp, our own army now, and they're ready to kill me. And they say that if you don't come back, they're going to kill me. Malik sends words back. He says, give me a few more days, Muawiyah will be done. We're right there. Imam Ali sends a message back. He says, if you continue on, your Imam won't be there. Now, brothers and sisters, you might ask, well, wait a minute. Why didn't Imam Ali just go ahead with it? Right? Is Imam Ali someone scared of death? Na'udhu billah? Of course not. He's not scared of death. Right? Let's say he's going to be shaheed, he's going to be shaheed. But the issue here is the guidance of the people. If Imam Ali alayhi salam was shaheed in that circumstance, what are people going to say? They're going to say, look, they had to kill him, because if not, the war was going to continue. That was the only way. He wasn't about peace. You see, the people wouldn't have been guided. It would have been confusion. Okay, the guidance of the people is always the first priority of Ahlul Bayt. First priorities of the Imams. If they stand, it's for the guidance of the people. If they sit, it's for the guidance of the people. If they're in occultation, it's for the guidance of the people. So Imam Ali says, no, come back. Okay? And this, brothers and sisters, effectively ended the Battle of Siffin. We're going to talk about tomorrow in detail about the arbitration that followed, what happened, why it happened, who were the elite that fell in that circumstance. But what you need to know here is that this battle basically effectively was over. 25,000 shuhada from amongst the 80,000 in Imam Ali's army. 45,000 killed in Muawiyah's army. This was the Battle of Jamal. We lost some great companions. 25 individuals who fought in the Battle of Badr or in the army of Imam Ali that were shaheed. Okay? We know about Amara Yasser. You know, we know about, we'll talk more about Dhu Shahadatain tomorrow. Some of these other great shuhada, Uwais al-Qarani. These people were shaheed in Battle of Siffin. It was no small thing. Imam Ali lamented the losses from this battle. He lost some of the elite of the elite, right? Some of the great companions of the Holy Prophet. So this led to the arbitration that we're going to talk about tomorrow. And what followed the arbitration, because the arbitration also went nowhere, what followed the arbitration were the Khawarij now. How did their story end? Were the Khawarij saying that, look, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have done what we did in Siffin. We messed up. Imam Ali, you also should repent for what you did. Imam Ali says, come on, guys. Okay. So this led to them saying, Imam Ali, you're no longer Muslim. Okay. And they started to come into the masjid. First, just verbally attacking Amir al-Mu'mineen. He'd be sitting like this on the minbar. They come into the masjid and they start saying things. So, okay. And here I'm going to go into parentheses here. Okay. Sheikh Amin Rastani style. Okay. What is one of the things that they said to him? One of the things that they would come in and say was, they say, La hukma illa lillah. They would say to him, they would quote this verse of Surah Yusuf, if I'm not mistaken, and they would say that there is no government except for the government of Allah. Basically saying you're illegitimate after what happened in the Battle of Siffin. Okay? That you're no longer legitimate. That you submitted, we were wrong, but you should admit that you're wrong. And because you don't admit to you're wrong, you're no longer a legitimate authority. And there's no authority except for Allah. And what does Amir al-Mu'mineen say to them in response? He says something that I mentioned at the start of my speech. He says, كَلَمَةُ حَقٍ يُرَادُ بِهَا بَاتِلٌ. And remember, we're in the parentheses here, okay, from the story. He says that the words that you're saying are true. There is no rule except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the wali. He is the true ruler. He is the one who has authority. Okay? كَلَمَةُ حَقٍ يُرَادُ بِهَا بَاتِلٌ. But your intention is false. Meaning that, look, I know what you're saying. The words are true. They're Quran. But what you're trying to get across, the message that you're coming with us at, is false. Because somebody has to rule. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has invested authority in some over others. And so, this rulership is not illegitimate. Brothers and sisters, if there's one thing that I would like to teach our youth, or if that you could pass on to our youth, or those of you who are here today, is take from these sessions, and from this speech in particular, it's this phrase. Because living in America in 2022, it's probably the most useful phrase for us. كَلَمَةُ حَقٍ يُرَادُ بِهَا بَاتِلٌ. Why? Because how many times do we hear stuff that sounds really good? Hey, yeah, that's true. I agree with that. But guess what? The intention behind it is false. Okay? And I'm going to discuss this at the, there's going to be a youth session, I think, later on this week. I'm going to be discussing this more there. But just so that all of us think about this, okay? What do we say sometimes? What do we hear said sometimes? We hear them say, only God can judge me. Okay? Only God can judge me. Is that true? Of course it's true. Yeah, only God can judge me. Well, what's really being said is, bro, mind your own business. It's like nothing to do with you. Yeah, I'm doing, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm drinking alcohol, God forbid, and I'm posting it online. Yeah, I'm swearing. Yeah, I have, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is. What's that got to do with you? Mind your own business, right? Only God can judge me. Okay? You see, kalimatu haqqin yuradu biha batil. What happened to Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahin al-Munkar? That Imam Hussein alayhi salam says on this poster, indeed I have risen, not risen up for mischief, but to, I can't read cursive that well anymore. I've risen up solely to seek the reform of the nation of my grandfather. Okay? Amr bin Ma'ruf, Nahin al-Munkar, what happened to it? Okay, only God can judge me. Right? What else do we see in this day and age? What do they say about love? Okay? Kalimatu haqq. Yes, we agree. Yuradu biha batil. You see? We have to be able to be wise, sharp, have that basira. Like, be like Habib, that deep insight. Because they say things, right? The people of Afghanistan, they're oppressed. Kalimatu haqq. Yuradu biha batil. What do they mean to say? They mean to say, we're going to go, we're going to steal their resources, we're going to keep the Taliban in power after 20 years, and we're going to be out of there. Okay? Kalimatu haqq. Yuradu biha batil. It's everywhere, it's all over, it's all around us. I could sit here up all night giving examples. But this is an important lesson for us and our children to, you know, keep your head on the swivel, as we say. Okay? Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Okay, so the Khawarij, what did they do? The Battle of Siffin, the Battle of Nahrawan. Who else was one of the Khawarij? Ibn Muljim. Okay? Because of the resources, both human resources and financial weapons, everything, people just being exhausted and people basically losing their drive to continue to battle, we see that Imam Ali alayhi salam wasn't able to, after the Battle of Nahrawan, because of the weakness of the people, wasn't able to raise that army again for Siffin part 2. He was ready. Okay, hey, look, now it's become clear to everyone that what I was saying in Siffin, that don't trust Muawiyah, everyone can see now that the swords, the Qurans and the spears were a ploy, and that now we got to go back and fight them. That's the only option, right? But he wasn't, the readiness of the people wasn't there. And that's a whole other tragedy once we go and see Imam Ali telling people, let's go, I'm going to go wait on the outskirts of town, and you see how few soldiers came. And now we understand why Imam Hassan had the difficulties that he had. Okay, so now, brothers and sisters, we're going to ask ourselves, okay, well, why did they fall? Well, first of all, why am I talking about this tonight? You're going to be like, okay, the Khawarij, most of them were wiped out in the Battle of Nahrawan. In the Battle of Nahrawan, Imam Ali left but a few, a handful. Right? You read the book of, you know, again, this, some of these books of Sheikh Mufid, it's beautiful because you see Imam Ali doing, you know, Imam Ali things. He gives the standard to Muhammad ibn Hanafiyah, his son. He says, go do X, Y, and Z thing in the battle. Muhammad ibn Hanafiyah comes back and says, I couldn't do it. Imam Ali's like, I got this, bro. Okay? He goes, middle of the battle, you know, doing Imam Ali alayhi salam things. And it's beautiful to see because this is the same Ali of Badr and of Khaybar, but he's now in his mid-50s, right? Doing the same thing, right? So he makes quick work of them in the Battle of Nahrawan. It's a beautiful thing. Someday, the day of Ghadir, you know, whoever you call, you ask them, just tell us about the Battle of Nahrawan. You know?
Muhammad.
But why are we talking about this? Because, brothers and sisters, when somebody said to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Alhamdulillah, we're done with these Khawarij, he said, no, by Allah, they exist in the loins of men. Meaning that we're not done with the Khawarij. And if you look around the world today, whether within the Sunni community or even, as I'm going to point to, within our own communities, some of the characteristics of the Khawarij still exist. And so that's why we're looking at the Khawarij. Why did they fall? Imam Ali alayhi salam points to one reason in Nahj al-Balagha. where he says that the world appeared glittering in their eyes and seduced them. He said, well, wait a minute. What are you talking about? These were people who were Zahids. They didn't live, they didn't have 11 houses. They weren't chasing after the opposite gender. They weren't going after the best camels. These people had prayer mats. They had Quran memorized in their head. What are you talking about? That they were seduced by this world. The world appeared glittering in their eyes. And this is the first lesson for us tonight. Is that the world, brothers and sisters, and the dunya will come to you and interact with you and try to deceive you based on who you are. Okay? For some of us, it might be the fancy cars, you know, the fancy purses, whatever it is. Okay? For some of us, it might be the opposite gender. Okay? For some of us, it might be something more than that. It might be position. It might be power. It might be being known as pious. You see? This is all the dunya, brothers and sisters. And this is where we gotta be real with ourselves. We have to be taking account of ourselves. Because the dunya is not always gonna come as what we see the dunya as being. It comes in different forms. And for the Khawarij, this is what Imam Ali alayhi salam was pointing to. And why is it so dangerous sometimes when the world comes to us in the form of, let's say, being known as being pious, or for example, in the form of, you know, my speeches being well received or whatever it is. As we get brothers and sisters, it's very easy for us as people to identify Ahl al-Dunya when they have gone to the extreme on that end. When they're extremists on that side, it's easy for us to identify them. Yes, this person, for example, you know, is pro LGBT, QRXZ, whatever, you know, WY, I don't know what they added today, okay? They're pro them, and they're saying that, yes, this is okay in Islam. Okay, we can see that's an extremism. It's an extreme position. We can see that they're outside the folds of the Sharia on that issue. Doesn't mean that they're bad people necessarily, right? But they're mistaken on that issue. We can see that clearly. But now someone comes to us, they're wearing, let's say, the clothes of the Holy Prophet, or they're very pious people, they're well known in the community, and now they're going to extremes on the other side. It's harder to identify. You say, well, they're doing X, Y, and Z great work in the community. What do you mean? What do you mean we shouldn't support them? They're making great videos. They're giving great speeches. What are you talking about? How can you say that? And this is where, brothers and sisters, we have to understand the importance of balance in Islam. Balance. In the salawat of Sha'ban that we recite in Sha'ban, it says that the Ahl al-Bayt are like the ark. Whoever gets on it is saved, and whoever is not on it drowns. Okay? And then it says, Al-Mutaqaddim lahum mariq. Mariqeen. It says, whoever goes ahead of the Ahlul Bayt, more than what they wanted, they're doing. They are extreme. They are outside the fold. They are deviant. They are like the Mariqeen, like the Khawarij. Right? And, وَمُتَأَخِرْ أَنْهُمْ زَاهِقْ. And those who are behind the Ahlul Bayt, okay, they're also lost. Okay? Meaning that we can't get too far ahead and too far behind. And I'm going to give an example of this. And I hate to have to share this, but it's important. And so I'm going to do it if you send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, I was in America for about half of the pandemic for the birth of, you know, my son Ali. And I was in Qom for about half the pandemic, you know, those early days of the pandemic. And one thing that I noticed in Qom was that oftentimes those who were going against the advice of the marja'iyya, when it came to masking, when it came to vaccination, and I'm not talking about vaccination and, you know, getting into the debate and discussion here. The situation is different in the Islamic Republic. People can, you know, make whatever decisions here, you know, after speaking with the experts and the ulama and everything. But over there, it was very clear. The maraji, the teachers of akhlaq, the urafa, they're going, they're wearing masks, and they're getting vaccinated very clearly on television in front of their students. Okay? So it's very clear. And what you saw was that in those early days when the haram of Hazrat Fatima Masuma alayha salam was being closed in order to kind of get the situation under control, who were the people who were banging on the door, literally, physically banging on the door? Were ulama. Who were the people who were doing silent protests at the haram, carrying around signs against masking and against vaccinations? Ulama. I saw it with my own eyes. Who were the people who, you know, I'm literally sitting having like usuli discussions, like deep, like fiqhi discussions about, do you need, is it hujjah on them if they're marja, where's the mask, or is it not hujjah on them? You know, going through these deep usuli discussions with them is ulama. You see, we have to be careful, brothers and sisters. Test is when we are going to know who we really are. It's easy to say, yes, I'm a follower of the Islamic leadership, I'm the follower of the maraji. But guess what happens? There's going to be a time when the Islamic leadership or the maraji or the imam of the time says something that doesn't agree with what you feel. It's against with what you feel. And this is where we find out how attached are we to the dunya? How attached are we to our nafs? How willing are we to submit? Or how ready are we to go and fight with those who are putting Qur'ans on spears? See, because if we don't fight when the Qur'an goes on spears, brothers and sisters, the next thing that's going to go on spears is heads. This is what we learn from the Battle of Siffin. This is what we learn from Karbala. So having this balance is very important. And this is one of the signs of people who are seemingly religious. They look and they seem very religious, but they are actually extremists. This is one of the signs, is that they lack balance. So when it comes to Islam, let's say, they can talk to you about the political aspects of Islam. They talk to you about what's going on, they're talking about Palestine, all these things. But you see, you won't find them spending time on their musalla. You won't find them feeling close to Nahjul Balagha, feeling close to Dua Kumail. You will find them sometimes, let's say, God forbid, being harsh with their wife, being harsh with their children. This is a sign of extremism. The same thing goes on the other side. You see someone so concerned about his connection with Allah, with the Munajat of Sha'baniyah, with all these things, but when it comes to his social, political responsibilities, he's nowhere to be seen. See, this is another extreme. Okay. And finally, the last sign that I want to point to that we saw in the Khawarij and that we sometimes see within our own community, I don't even want to look at the community and the brothers of Ahlul Sunnah. Okay, there it's very clear. But it's this concept and this idea of doing takfir on other people. Right? Saying that, well, because what happened with Imam Ali? They said that he committed a sin, and so this, because of this sin, you're no longer Muslim, and your blood is halal for us. We can come and kill you. And they did. You see? So we know that this happens with the Daesh types, right? From amongst the other Muslims. But what about within us? When you see somebody, they might not be coming out and saying, oh, this person is not Shia. But they might say things like, he's not Shia enough. He's not a real Shia. He doesn't support X, Y, and Z. Right? He's not down with what I see as the correct form of wilaya. You see, brother, this is dangerous. Right? Understanding that what it takes for someone to be Shia is that they accept the wilaya of Imam al-Mu'mini. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. And somebody who accepts the wilayah of Amir al-Mu'mineen is our brother. It doesn't matter who their marja is. It doesn't matter how well they've understood imama in our times. Maybe they haven't understood all of the reference of imama. Maybe they haven't understood how imama, the leadership of Imam Mahdi, is working in today's world. That's okay. They're still our Shia. They're still our brothers. Saying otherwise, we are now going towards the Khawarij. We are going away from Tawheed. This is very important for us to recognize. So much damage has been done within our American communities because of infighting between people who are followers of different great scholars overseas. These ulama who overseas would do nothing but sacrifice all they have for the sake of unity. And here we are, breaking up into different masajid, breaking up into different groups because of this. So we got to check ourselves. We got to make sure that we're not like the Khawarij when it comes to doing takfir. When we think that we're the only people on earth doing the good work. You know, that if it's that we make our organizations, God forbid, and alhamdulillah, Yasin is not one of them. Well, I've seen that with these brothers here, alhamdulillah. But when these organizations become idols, we start to worship these organizations. It's no longer about the message of Abu Abdullah and Hussein. Right? I was listening to our dear brother Sayyid Abbas, one of his lectures that he's been giving in these nights, because I'm up here, I don't have the tawfiq to attend. So I listened to one of his lectures today. He said a beautiful statement. He said, come for the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein in these nights, whether you come here or whether you come somewhere else. SubhanAllah. You know? In some of these places, you're not going to hear that because they're being run like businesses, unfortunately. Okay? So this is something important for us. Okay? Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And so with this, these khawarij, what we learn, brothers and sisters, the lesson that we take away is that if we're not ready to fight against the Quran on spears when the time comes, and to listen to the imam and to listen to our leadership, it becomes heads on spears. Some of those who lost their lives because of the khawarij, we see Malik al-Ashtar, we see Muhammad, the son of Abu Bakr, who was basically like a son to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Okay? And we see, brothers and sisters, that what we learn is that just being religious in and of itself doesn't mean that we have the basira, right? It has to be that we are on that arc of the Ahlul Bayt. It has to be that we are stepping in the footsteps of the Ahlul Bayt. The way Imam Ali alayhi salam, they said in that story that somebody saw one set of footprints and they went to that place and they saw there was Imam Ali and the Holy Prophet. And they're like, hey man, we saw only one set of footprints. And Imam Ali said, that's because I was stepping in the footprints of Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Because if not, brothers and sisters, we end up like some of these individuals. We end up like somebody who's was with Imam Ali alayhi salam in the Battle of Siffin. When Imam Ali passed by Karbala in the Battle of Siffin, he stopped. He looked around and he said that this is where a group will enter paradise without being held accountable, without being taken to account, without being questioned. They will go directly to paradise. This individual said, I saw this, the Battle of Siffin occurred, I continued to live my life. He said, I forgot about this moment until when? Until I was in the army of Yazid. And then I said, hey, I've been here before. And I remember Amir al-Mu'mineen's words. And he went over to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He left the army of Yazid. And brothers and sisters, this is what we got to remember. You're going to have choices to make. The wrong choice, the right choice, and sometimes there's another wrong choice, which is making no choice. We talked about with Sa'd. This individual came to Imam Hussein and he said, look, I saw your father, he said this. He said that this is where a group will enter paradise without being questioned. Imam Hussein looks at him, he says, so what are you going to do about it? Are you going to join us or not? Are you going to fight against us or are you going to join us? The man looks at Imam Hussein and he says, neither. Imam Hussein said, then get far as way as you can as possible, because anyone who witnesses what's about to happen will never gain forgiveness. The man left. His name is not worth mentioning. I wrote his name down. I won't mention his name. His name's not worth mentioning. What kind of legacy are you going to leave for your children, for your grandchildren, for your community, for the army of Imam Mahdi one day that will rise from right here in the United States of America? What type of legacy are you going to leave, brothers and sisters? How do you want your name to be remembered? It's up to you. One of those individuals who felt the pain of the fall of the elite more than probably anyone else was our second Imam, Imam Hasan al-Mujtaba, alayhi salam. Brothers and sisters, after the Battle of Siffin and Nahrawan, we see there was only a few people serious about continuing to support Imam Ali, continuing to support Imam Hassan alayhi salam. We know about the pain of Imam Hassan. We've heard about the pain of Imam Hassan. He's sitting in his tent, his own army coming and pulling out the prayer mat from underneath him. Imagine the disrespect. His own army pulling out the prayer rug. Him being stabbed by people in his own army. He was stabbed in the thigh. Muawiyah buying off his army left and right. These people who had fallen for the glitter of this world. How much pain he must have felt when he had to go and do what his holy, what the Holy Prophet had predicted what had to happen, which was sign this treaty with Muawiyah. Sign it to save the Muslim Ummah. Sign it to ensure the guidance of the people. Because he knew that if he fought at that time, the people would not have been guided. And that's the purpose of the Ahlul Bayt. It's not about gaining power. He had to endure the pain of people coming to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and trying to convince Imam Hussein alayhi salam, say, Imam, oh Hussein, we see that your brother has made this mistake. We see that your brother has not followed in the footsteps of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Right? Na'udhu billah. Trying to disunite the Imams from one another. Imam Hassan saw all this happening. He saw Imam Hussein for 10 years being loyal to him, following him in every single statement, every single footstep. Somebody who is so worthy that he was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the Imam of Imam Hussein for 10 years. How deep must his wisdom have been? How great of a leader was he? This was Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Brothers and sisters, when Imam Hassan died, he left behind, some say, 3 sons, some say 4 sons. But his 2 youngest children were just 3 years old and 1 year old. He had a 3-year-old named Qasim, and he had a 1-year-old named Abdullah. And we'll be talking about these 2 sons of Imam Hassan in the next 2 nights here. How much pain must it be, brothers and sisters, to leave behind young sons like that as orphans? But what was Imam Hassan thinking about? Here was someone who was poisoned by the one who you would think is the most loyal to you. As a man, what do you expect from your wife? You expect that she's the most loyal to you, that she has your back no matter what, that in the most difficult of your time, of time, she'll never leave you. How painful is it? It hurts more when it's coming from your husband, when it's coming from your wife. Why is it that when a regular person hurts us, we might not cry? But when it's our wife, when it's our husband, it brings us to tears. It hurts deeper. It's because of what you expect from someone like that. Someone who knows you that intimately. Think of the pain of Imam Hassan. They say that the poison that his wife gave him was such that he began to cough up parts of his liver. Literally, parts of his organs were coming out. He was coughing up blood. He was coughing up his own organs. In this condition, being betrayed by his own wife in his own house, being stabbed by his own soldiers in his own masjid, leaving behind a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, what does he say to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein? When Imam Hussein comes into the room and begins to cry, he sees his brother, just 1 year older than him. They've spent their lives together. They were on the front lines with the Holy Prophet together, with Imam Ali together, battling in Siffin, battling in Jamal, battling in Nahrawan together. They've been through everything together. They've seen the loss of their grandfather. They've seen the loss of their mother. They've seen their loss of their father together. And here they are. He's seeing his imam coughing up blood, coughing up parts of his body. And tears begin to roll off the cheeks of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Ya Abu Abdullah, if only we could have been there to wipe away your tears. But here Imam Hassan reminds him that la yawma ka yawmaka ya Abu Abdullah. There is no day like your day, ya Hussein. Why was he saying that? Maybe he knew about the thirsty children, Sakina and Imam Baqir, and these thirsty children of Karbala. Maybe he knew about a warrior at the water, not taking a sip, coming back with no arms. Maybe he knew about a sister sitting on a hill, watching it all unfold. Maybe he knew about a thirsty baby. Maybe he knew about rocks to a forehead. Or maybe he knew about his son Abdullah, who was sitting in a tent when he saw his uncle Hussein. This Abdullah, who Imam Hussein took in his lap as a 1-year-old, as a 2-year-old, and rubbed his head. He was an orphan now. Imam Hussein would raise him for 10 years now, like his own son. When this Abdullah was told, "You're too young to fight." But I'm reminded of one of the statements in the sacred defense. One time, one of the youth in the sacred defense, brothers and sisters, he was captured by the army of Saddam. And they asked him, "Oh youth, is it that your leader has lowered the age of enlistment? That now you as an 11-year-old, or 12-year-old, as a 13-year-old, you're here fighting?" And he said, "No, by Allah, he lowered the age of love." This was Abdullah, brothers and sisters. He saw what was happening to his uncle Hussein, who was like a father to him, the only father he's known. He starts to run out into the battlefield. He sees the enemies have surrounded Hussein. No one is left. It's just Abdullah. Imam Hussein calls out to Zainab, "Oh Zainab, stop this youth. Don't let him come. Let one from the progeny of my brother remain." But Abdullah wrestles away from his aunt. He says, "La wallah, la ufariqu ammi." He says, "I swear to God, I will never leave my uncle. I will never leave my imam." He comes, he stands in front of the enemy, 11 years old, no sword, no shield, nothing to defend the imam with but his arms. فَضَرَبَهُ بِالسَّيْفِ. They hit him with a sword. فَاتَّقَاهُ الْغُلَامُ بِيَدَهِ فَأَتَّنَّحَا إِلَى جِلْدِ. They hit his arm. They cut his arm such that it was hanging from the skin. He cries out, Ya Ummah. He cries out for help. Imam Hussein takes him in his arm. He says, Isbir ala ma nazala bik. He says, have patience with what has happened to you. This is Hormala comes and shoots an arrow at his neck. And his head rolls into the lap of Hussein. Allah la'natullah ala qawm al-zalameen. Wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyuman qalaban yanqalaboon. Baka ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. بمحمد بعلي بفاتمة بالحسن بحسين. Oh Allah, we ask you for the sake of the pure blood of Abdullah, the son of Hassan, al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, to forgive our sins, to forgive our parents, to forgive anyone who taught us a word in Islam. Oh Allah, we ask you for the sake of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, to keep our children, to keep us on the straight path until our last breath. O Allah, we ask you for the sake of Fatima al-Zahra to hasten the reappearance of the Imam and make us his helpers when he comes. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم everyone together السلام على الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى وقتی میگن دست بریده دلا سوی القم میره خوبه ولی از دل گوتو کسی سراغی نمیگیره از اون گلی که سپر شد از غربت حسین وجودش شعله ور شد از کودکی که نظر عمو شد دستای کوچیکش با شمشیر روبرو شد آه ابنو Hassan, the last martyr. Ibn al-Hassan, the last martyr. Ibn al-Hassan, the last martyr. Ibn al-Hassan, the last. Oh, yatim mujtaba, chaziba, jun mide tu aghush mola. چه خوب موقع شهادت، حسین نمونده تک و تنها، با درد دست گفته یا امه، آخه مصیبتای زهرا رو شنیده، فقط ندستش سرش بریده، شبیه تر از او به حسین آیا کی دیده؟ آه ابن الحسن the last martyr. Ibn al-Hassan the last martyr. Ibn al-Hassan the last martyr. Ibn al-Hassan.
Stand for Latmiya, salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
بايعناك يا إمامي أنت ولينا في كربلاء، يا حسين أنت هادينا. بايعناك يا إمامي أنت ولينا في كربلاء، يا حسين أنت هادينا. بايعناك يا إمامي أنت ولينا في كربلاء، يا حسين أنت هادينا. بايعناك يا إمامي أنت في كربلاء، يا حسين أنت هادينا. تاق الهدى لي مرآك نارا تكويني، هان الردى لي لقاك يا نور ديني. تاق الهدى لي مرآك نارا تكويني، هان الردى لي لقاك يا نور ديني. كل يوم جرحه بات يدمني فيه قد طاب نداكم يا مهدينا بايعناك يا إمامي أنت والينا في كربلاء يا حسين أنت هادينا بايعناك يا إمامي أنت والينا يا حسين أنت هادينا كان القوم في سبات ردحا طويلا كان الدين في الحياة يحبو ذليلا كان القوم في سبات ردحا طويلا كان الدين في الحياة يحبو ذليلا قمت أنت يا حسين صغت سبيلا صار الموت في رضاك دربا مبينا بايعناك يا إمامي أنت والينا في كربلاء يا حسين أنت هادينا بايعناك يا إمامي أنت والينا في كربلاء يا حسين أنت هادينا هاج القلب بالشجون يا ضياء دربي كيف طالت كالمانون قد زاد كربي هاج القلب بالشجون يا ضياء دربي كيف طالت كالمانون قد زاد كربي مهما طالت السنون يشهد ربي بالدماء نحيي ذكر مهما حيينا بايعناك يا إمامي أنت والينا في كربلاء يا حسين أنت هادينا بايعناك يا إمامي أنت والينا أنت هادينا يا لي صيحات الحوراء في أرض الطفوف تبكي أمها الزهراء والحشد ألوف يا لي صيحات الحوراء في أرض الطفوف تبكي أمها الزهراء والحشد ألوف جل بأخي العذاب أقصى الحتوف يا لي ثارات الحسين يا مؤمنين بايعناك يا إمامي أنت والينا
آرزوی پر زدن با من حرم با تو گریه های نیم شب با من حرم با تو نفس با من هوا با تو دعا با من شفا با تو نیاز کربلا با من برات کربلا با تو نیاز کربلا با من برات کربلا با تو آرزوی پر زدن با من حرم با تو گریه های نیم شب با من حرم با تو نفس با من هوا با تو دعا با من شفا با تو نیاز کربلا با من برات کربلا با تو نیاز برات کربلا با تو ای کس و کارم به تو خیلی بدهکارم ای کس و کارم به تو خیلی بدهکارم دوست دارم دوست دارم دوست دارم آقا دوست دارم دوست دارم دوست دارم بی پناه و بی کسم آقا پناهم باش آخرین امید شبهای سیاهم باش منو گریه منو زاری منو شبهای بیداری فقط دل خوش به اینم که هوای نوکر رو داری فقط دل خوش به اینم که هوای رو داری آدم آخر برس به داد این نوکر آدم آخر برس بر داد این نوکر ای کس و کارم به تو خیلی بدهکارم دوست دارم دوست دارم دوست دارم آقا دوست دارم دوست دارم آقا دوست دارم توی روز تر نشد چشمی که محرم نیست روزه های هفتگی کم هست محرم نیست میخوام که دل برم باشی یه سایه رو سرم باشی چی میشه که شب جمعه به یادم تو حرم باشی چی میشه که شب جمعه به یادم تو حرم باشی آه چه محزونه یه مادر روزه میخونه آه چه محزونه یه مادر روزه میخونه غریب من شهید من عزیز من حسین جانم 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 تو وجودم تار و پودم جاری عشقت همیشه تا به جز تو دل من عشق دیگه جا نمیشه این قلب مجنونو لایق کردی پای روزت ما رو عاشق کردی این دل رسوا رو میشناسم با ابی عبدالله هر نفسم داغه میخونه یا ای امید نا امیدا حسین آخرین ذکر شهیدا حسین آخرین ذکر شهیدا حسین ای امید نا امیدا آخرین ذکر شهیدا حسین آخرین ذکر شهیدا حسین تا به خونم هر کی باشه آبرو داره عزیزت کی میدونه قیمتش رو اشکی که با ست بریزه بی تو باشم آقا کارم زاره کی تو عالم اینقدر عاشق داره خیلی کرم داری قدر دنیا نوکرم داری، هر جا برم هستی چون تو دلها تو حلم داری. می نویسم روی پرچم حسین، می نویسم روی پرچم حسین، بهترین آقای عالم حسین، بهترین آقای عالم حسین، ای امید ناامیدا حسین، آخرین ذکر شهیدا حسین، آخرین ذکر شهیدا حسین.
O Hussein, the son of Zahra, you are the master of my heart. O Hussein, the son of Zahra, you are the master of my heart. With just a blink of your eye, you will take my problems apart. Your love is flowing in my vein, I'm always reciting your name. Day and night I think about you, I am that lover who's insane. Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra. Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra. My master, I know this myself, every day I drown in my sin. My master, I know this myself, every day I drown in my sin. I am not worthy of your help, yet your love saves me from within. It is my prayer to serve you, I have left my life in your hands. My blood is a small price to pay, Karbala, mix it with your sand. Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra. Karbala, you have broken me, my heart is burning in this flame. Karbala, you have broken me, my heart is burning in this flame. May I join you this Arba'een to see the curer of my pain. Every night my heart is restless, my eyes are always filled with tears. Oh Hussein, why are you headless? Oh master, your head's on a spear. Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra, Yabna Zahra. Ya Rabb al-Husayn, bihaq al-Husayn, ishfi sadr al-Husayn, bidhuhur al-Hujja. Ya Rabb al-Hujja, bihaq al-Hujja, اشفي صدر الحجة بظهور الحجة. صلوات.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك يا وارث دم صفوة الله. السلام عليك يا وارث نوح النبي الله. السلام عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله. السلام عليك يا وارث موسى يا كليم الله، السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله، السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله، السلام عليك يا وارث أمير المؤمنين، السلام عليك يا ابن محمد المصطفى، السلام عليك يا ابن علي المرتضى، السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء، السلام عليك يا ابن خديجة الكبرى، السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور، أشهد أنك قد أقمت الصلاة وآتيت الزكاة وأمرت بالمعروف ونهيت عن المنكر وأطعت الله ورسوله حتى أتاك اليقين، فلعن الله أمة قتلت ولعن الله أمة ظلمت ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرضيت به. يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة، لم تنجسك الجاهلية بأنجاسها ولم تلبسك من ملهمات ثيابها، وأشهد أنك من دعائم الدين وأركان المؤمنين، وأشهد أنك الإمام البر التقي الرضي الزكي الهادي المهدي، وأشهد أن الأئمة من ولدك كلمة التقوى وأعلام الهدى والعروة الوثقى والحجة على أهل الدنيا، وأشهد الله وملائكته وأنبياءه ورسله أني بكم مؤمن وبإيابكم موقن، بشرائع ديني وخواتم عملي، وقلبي لقلبكم سلم وأمري لأمركم متبع، صلوات الله عليكم وعلى أرواحكم وعلى أجسادكم وعلى أجسامكم وعلى شاهدكم وعلى غائبكم وعلى ظاهركم وعلى باطنكم، بأبي أنت وأمي يا ابن رسول الله، بأبي أنت وأمي يا أبا عبد الله، لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل السماوات والأرض، فلعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتهيأت لقتالك. يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، قصدت حرمك، أسأل الله بالشأن الذي لك عنده وبالمحل الذي لك لديه أن يصلي على محمد وآل محمد، وأن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى ولياً وحافظاً وقائداً وناصراً ودليلاً وعيناً، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعاً وتمتعه فيها طويلاً برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وإلى أموات الحاضرين والحاضرات ومن مات على الإيمان، رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلاة.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Inshallah, the food is going to be outside. You could pick up a box and come in here. We're going to lay out sufras, inshallah. And please don't forget to keep the marhumin as well as the volunteers that sponsored tonight. With Allah's salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.